So next case for argument is Klinger versus the Conan Doyle Estate. Mr. Allison,
do you want to go back?
Oh, our first case.
Yeah.
Well, are they here?
She's here, and still have the phone.
He's on the phone. If you want to go back.
Okay. All right. We'll go back to our first case first. Sorry to disrupt things. Okay. So, Mr. Larson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So, you're on.
Are we ready to proceed?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, may it please the Court, Andrew Larson for the petitioner, Mr. Koyamani. Your Honor, Mr. Koyamani was entered the United States without inspection in 1997, and therefore was only subject to grounds of inadmissibility under INA 212. He's not subject to the grounds of removability under INA 237 because he never faced inspection. And when he sought cancellation of his removal, he was barred both by the immigration judge as well as the Board of Immigration Appeals by saying that basically, if he was inadmissible under 212, it's the same as being barred under 237. And the Board of Immigration Appeals has held that same idea twice. The only Court of Appeals to interpret that is the Second Circuit in Reyes versus Holder from 2013. Now, the statute there is slightly different. It is the, it's the Nicaraguan Adjustment and Central American Relief Act, which is slightly different from the statute that we're dealing about here, but it's the same statutory scheme. And that court was very clear in acknowledging that the words inadmissible, which is the 212 standard, and deportable, the 237 standard, are different words and that they have different specific meanings. And what we're asking is the court to remand this back to the immigration court to hear whether he indicates that he's not barred, and send it back for a hearing to determine if he meets the other qualifications. What's at issue here is he has a conviction for domestic violence.
Now, is that a misdemeanor conviction or a felony conviction?
It is a misdemeanor conviction.
You don't make anything of that.
I'm sorry?
You don't make anything of that, that it was misdemeanor rather than a felony, do you? Or?
I don't, and the reason is because under the immigration statute, they don't deal necessarily with felony versus misdemeanor. So, for example, someone could commit a crime of moral turpitude as simple as shoplifting, and that could be a bar, but someone could have a felony of a different sort, and that wouldn't automatically bar them. That's why I think it's immaterial that it was a misdemeanor.
Well, I don't understand. Doesn't 1227A2 says that this domestic violence is a misdemeanor unless there's a second conviction?
Yes.
That becomes a felony?
Potentially. Yes. So, Your Honor, what happens sometimes in courts is somebody comes in and gets a domestic violence conviction, they come back in with a second charge, which would then be a felony, but for any number of reasons, including the victim may not want to testify and so on, as part of a plea deal, the prosecutor will offer a second misdemeanor conviction instead of the felony.
But you're saying that 1127A2 makes no distinction between felonies and misdemeanors?
I'm saying in this case, I don't think it matters, Your Honor.
Why not? I don't understand.
Because the nature of the misdemeanor is, under the statute, determines it to be potentially something that would prevent him from having this cancellation.
Doesn't 1220, whatever it is, doesn't it say that if the maximum penalty wasn't more than a year, which is the misdemeanor felony line, that it's not a basis for it's not a, then this section is not applicable, right?
That's true, Your Honor, but there are separate sections which discuss other crimes which are misdemeanors.
Wait, I don't understand you. So this 1127A2, it talks about, you know, violations of various sort, crimes involving moral turpitude and so forth. But then there's this exception for misdemeanors. And you say that isn't applicable here. Why?
No, that is applicable here because that's the petty offense exception. But what I'm saying is, while that applies, it may not apply in some other cases under the same statute because of the nature of that crime. It does apply here, but it doesn't always apply.
You've lost me completely. It applies here, but you're not making anything of it? I don't get it.
Your Honor, that's the only reason that we're here is because there are the criteria that he has to meet and to be eligible to have the removal canceled. Under Section 237, the conviction makes him deportable. Under 212, it makes him inadmissible. If he is inadmissible, that petty exception applies, and we can get to the other criteria to determine if he can cancel removal.
But he's still deportable under 237.
He is not deportable under 237 because when he came here, he wasn't inspected, meaning he crossed the border, he came across a river, something like that. The difference between 212 and 237 is whether the person has been inspected or not.
Are you saying that
he was not?
Are you saying that if he comes in undetected, we'll call it, and stays here a while, and then he does what he did, he's not deportable? He's immune from being deported because he wasn't admissible in the first place?
Correct. Under this statute, as written.
Okay, well, thanks. So we'll hear from
Thank you.
The government now. Ms. Wellhaff?
Good morning, Your Honors. Ann Wellhoff for Respondent, Attorney General Holder, and my apologies for my error. I thought we were the first case at the 10 o'clock session, and I apologize. Your Honor, in this case, the Board of Immigration Appeals was interpreting INA Section 240A-B1C, which is one of the eligibility criteria for cancellation of removal. And in this case, the board in Cortez Canales gave effect to the plain meaning of the statute. The statute says that if certain aliens have been convicted of an enumerated offense, one of the enumerated offenses under that provision, whether they were inadmissible or deportable does not matter, they will not be entitled to cancellation of removal. That's what the statute says plainly.
Even if it's just a misdemeanor conviction?
Well, Your Honor, and if, to tag on to the discussion you were having with petitioner's counsel, the reason that it doesn't matter is that his crime's a misdemeanor is that the crime here was a crime of violence. This court said so in the Laguerre case. This court looked at the very statute of conviction and said that the alien in that case, who was also convicted under that statute, had committed a crime of violence. It doesn't matter whether it's a categorized by Illinois law as a misdemeanor or a felony. It's a crime of violence, and it's an ag felony under the INA, under 237A2. If you commit an ag felony, you're not entitled to cancellation of removal. That wasn't even an issue in this case, and so the board didn't. There isn't much discussion on that because, as petitioner's counsel has discussed, he more or less has conceded those points, and that's clear on his brief too. He acknowledges his crime was one enumerated under 237A2, and I think that the Laguerre case would make that.
Well, what is the force of this exception for misdemeanors and in 212.
Yeah, well, 212 is the section where aliens who haven't been admitted are deemed inadmissible. And under 212, if you commit a crime of moral turpitude, there is they call it the petty offense exception. If your CIMT was one for which the max penalty was, I think it's a year in prison, and you didn't get more than 6 months, and you were under the age of 18, we're not going to count it. We still might let you in. I think the other portion of that says there's two prongs, and I think it was, again, dealt with the maximum penalty imposed. And we all acknowledge, as the board acknowledged, that the petitioner in this case, his crime would not have rendered him, his CIMT did not render him inadmissible under 212 because he met the petty crime exception. However, so we couldn't have charged him with inadmissibility under there. We did so. However, the immigration judge did not sustain that ground of removal. It's a bit confusing to talk about inadmissible versus removal because it used to be the law was changed with ARERA and used to be you were excludable. Now you're inadmissible. Whether you're an inadmissible alien in this country who just snuck in and never was formally admitted, or you came in and overstayed, or you're removable for some other reason, in either case, you are removable and deportable.
Why did you cite the Laguerre case?
Sorry? I'm sorry?
Why did you cite the Laguerre case?
Well, just to reference the fact that that is why his crime is one of the crimes enumerated under Section 237A2, because Laguerre said that crime is a crime of violence and it's a aggravated felony. That's what Laguerre says.
What about the exception?
Well, there is no exception for aggravated felonies.
So you're saying that 212 is just irrelevant. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we charged this alien.
Well, if 212 is relevant, what's the force of this exception for misdemeanor?
Well, he was because we charged him with removal under 212 and he got out of it. He got out of removal under 212 because of the exception. The immigration judge did not sustain that charge of removability.
So
he did sustain
212 is irrelevant.
No, I'm not. He did
you've lost me totally.
Okay. Well, I guess
there's this exception for misdemeanors in 212.
Yes.
You said about 30 seconds ago that 212 is irrelevant. He wasn't removed under that. Now you're saying it is relevant.
Well, so it was relevant to the case, but, I mean, he was ultimately the chain.
Would you make up your mind? Is it relevant or irrelevant?
This alien was not removed under 212.
Is it relevant or irrelevant?
Well, for purpose,
if he wasn't removed,
yes, it's relevant.
This,
there is some relevance.
What is the relevance?
Here's the relevance. Because he's coming forth and seeking relief from removal. He's seeking cancellation of removal. And to get that, he must prove he did not commit an offense enumerated under 212 or enumerated under 237. He can prove he hasn't committed one under 212.
But if he's within the exception for misdemeanors, then there's no offense enumerated under 212.
Correct. He met his burden of proof on that. He proved that he did not commit an offense under INA 212. However, he did not meet his burden of proving he did not commit an enumerated offense under 237.
Well, why are you talking about 212? Look, you're extremely unclear. 212 is either relevant or irrelevant, and you will not tell me whether it's relevant. You say it's relevant, but then you say, well, it doesn't have anything to do with the case because he wasn't removed under it. Why doesn't that make it irrelevant?
Your Honor, I believe it's relevant. I would like to try one more time to tell you why it is relevant. Because he's coming forth seeking cancellation of removal, and cancellation of removal, in order to be eligible for it, is his burden, and he must prove, and I'm reading from the statute, he must prove he has not been convicted of an offense under Section 1182, which is 212 of the INA, and he must also show he has not been convicted of an offense under 1227A2, which is Section 227.
So I think you were saying that he succeeded under 212.
He did.
Then why isn't it totally irrelevant? You say there were alternative grounds for removing him. One was 212. He defeated that ground. Well, why doesn't 212 just drop out of the case?
Once he met his burden, it did. Then I apologize. And then, then I guess it's irrelevant because he's met his burden of proving that element of eligibility. To me, it was still relevant that he had to prove it. He satisfied that. Now we're going to look and see if he proved the remainder of the eligibility criteria, which he did not. And the reason he did not is because his crime was, and he has conceded and acknowledged during the proceeding, that it was a crime that falls under INA 227.
So he's not eligible for cancellation because of INA section 237A2. He doesn't qualify. Therefore, he's not eligible for cancellation of removal based on 237, right?
That is based on that in conjunction with the cancellation section that incorporates that, which is 240A B1C. And that is the provision, and then that was the whole issue here in this case, is his argument was that, but I'm not, you couldn't have charged me with removal under 237A2. You could not have done so, and the reason is because I was never admitted. And that's acknowledged, that's correct. However, that is not what the eligibility criteria is. It doesn't say you must prove that you weren't removable under 237. There's many provisions of the INA that do say that, and I point those out in the government's brief. This section, Congress was clear. It didn't say you have to prove you are not removable under 237. It says you have to prove you didn't commit an offense described under 237. That's a much different showing than showing that you aren't removable. Very big difference in the showing. And the language
show
is
it
key.
Under 237.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like a lot of double talk. That's why Judge Posner was talking. He said, well, 1227 is irrelevant because even though he proved under that, he wasn't able to prove it under the other part of the statute, and therefore he is not eligible for withholding removal.
He's correct. He did not meet that eligibility criteria because, as he has acknowledged, the crime he committed is one described under 1227 or 237 INA A2. And that we know that from the Laguerre case. It's an aggravated felony. And respondent's position is that it doesn't matter that we could not charge him with removal under INA 237. We acknowledge that we couldn't because he wasn't admitted. But that is not what... The issue isn't removability. The issue is he entitled to relief? And to do so, he has to come forth and show these things, including that he hasn't committed an enumerated offense. He has not done that. And more or less acknowledges that he hasn't done that, but he's saying it doesn't matter that I haven't, because I'm not deportable, and that's not what the statute said. And as the government pointed out on brief, there's a lot of statutes where Congress actually very clearly requires for the alien to prove the particular immigration consequences of an offense, i.e. admissibility or deportability, didn't attach. There's many provisions where Congress says you have to prove that. That's a different showing. This is not one of them. Congress clearly espoused its intent to preclude aggravated felons from getting this relief. And that it's respondent's position that's the clear meaning of the statute.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Wellhaff. And Mr. Larson, do you have anything further?
Your Honor, I think it's very simple. If you look at the Reyes versus Holder case, there's a line out of, found at pages 732 and 733, the Second Circuit case, says an alien is ineligible for special rule cancellation of removal if he is deportable under 237. But Reyes, who's the alien there, was never admitted to the United States and therefore, by definition, is not deportable under 237. It simply doesn't apply. If 212 applies, he wins, he stays under the petty offense exception. If you find that 237 applies, he doesn't stay because the petty exception doesn't give him relief under 237. I think it's that simple.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel.